It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to the Legends Lounge. I have with me their MVPs, ABA MVPs, their champions, finals MVPs, all-stars, all-NBAs, all of that. I include myself with that, but that's the four gentlemen, the three gentlemen with me. I have Bill Walton to my left. I have Archie Clark to my right. I have Spencer Haywood to his right. We get into a conversation just about some of the things that these gentlemen have done to pioneer the game in their way, what it took for them to find, you know, what their mission is in life, and we give some flowers at the end because we are big on giving flowers to people while they can smell them, so we hope you enjoy.
Arr!
There you go.
I want Spencer Haywood.
Hey.
Right here, now.
Now.
There we go.
Come on, I got a fish on me.
Got a fish on me.
Shake and bake, Archie. Just chill out. You're 80 years old.
Yes,
fantastic.
I am.
You look great,
Archie. I have a birthday in, 7 days now. I'll be 81.
81. Fantastic. All the way from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Man, that is a journey for you.
Right, yeah. I was the baby when my mom and dad moved to Michigan, moved right outside of Detroit. I was 2 years old, so I lived in Detroit area for 79 years almost. So Detroit,
and you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still
and
there.
When you were growing up, who were your boyhood heroes that inspired you to get to where you are today?
Well, I had one of the guys who was, you know, high school football player. His name was Roosevelt Jones. He was a heck of a football player, and I admired his work ethic.
He was a player or the coach?
He was a player.
Player.
He was a player.
And you played football as well?
I started out playing a little football. I stopped playing in my sophomore year. And
because you were shaking bait.
Well, yeah, not only that.
So you're supposed to be on the basketball court.
Not only that, I was a baseball player.
Whoa.
So you did some of everything.
Right. In fact, I was a baseball player even in college. National championship team.
At Minnesota.
At the University of Minnesota.
But you didn't go straight from high school to college. You went into the military.
Military, yeah.
Right.
Before college.
Yes, I did. I left home when I was 18 and went into the Army. I volunteered for the Army.
What years were these?
This is in 1959. We had a slight recession in the Detroit area.
Okay.
Couldn't get a job, so I went into the Army and became a soldier.
So how'd you end up on the basketball court? How'd you end up from the
No, but you got to hear one more story about his soldiering when he was.
There's more.
Yeah.
Well, I was a soldier, like I said.
Okay. He was in the Army and he was on the Army team, right? And then somebody
He was he was like one particular outing he had with his troops.
Oh well, I'm not going to talk about the troops. I'm going to talk the basketball story in terms of how I got more involved in basketball. I really wanted to be a baseball player, but every, you know, base that I went to didn't have a baseball team at the time. So I played basketball. And in my last year, I was stationed right outside of Washington, D.C. And we had an intramural program with Andrews Air Force Base, even though I was in the Army. The base coach saw me playing in an intramural and asked me to come out for the base team. So I made the base team. I became all Air Force. I made all Air Force.
Well, you weren't even Air Force.
I was in
first
the Army.
Air Force.
They cut orders for me to play, you know, in the Air Force, and I became, like I said, all Air Force. And the coach of the team was alumni of Minnesota, and he helped me get a scholarship to University of Minnesota.
Mm.
And I went up to University of Minnesota. My thought was I'll play.
And that coach was John Cunler, right?
No, well, the coach was John Cunler of the team, but the base, his name was Buzz Bennett. He had played at the university. And So he got me a scholarship there. But I was looking at it from this perspective. I would play basketball, then I would play baseball, and then I would sign a baseball contract.
So you were thinking baseball all along?
All along. I was looking at it from baseball. We were national champs. I was starting center fielder in my sophomore year, but I didn't hit that well. And I didn't have any coaches, I mean, not coaches, but...
training?
No, I didn't have any people from the baseball area come in and say, hey, I would like for you to play for us, or a scout. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when I had a scout that came at a game at Ohio State, and I hit the ball pretty well that time, that day, and he asked me, do you hit the ball like that? And I'm honest as I am, I said, I mean, I hit the power when I hit it.
There you go. There you go.
Archie, where does your social conscience history and the core of your humanity come from?
It was always a part of me. I just didn't know who Archie really was. It took me 76 years before I found out that Archie is a helper.
Hmm. That's my whole personality.
You're a man of service.
A man of service. I had asked myself, and I've asked who I consider the supreme power to let me know who Archie is, because I've done a lot of things, and it hit me. We had a 25th anniversary of this organization, and after I came back from New Orleans, I was sitting in my basement, and I just kind of was thinking, and all of a sudden it just showed me, you are a helper. That's who I am, and I've been doing it all my life. I mean, it just was natural, but I never knew that was the case, because I wanted to be a baseball player. I ended up being a basketball player, you know what I mean? And then I went into public service as I was administrative assistant to the mayor for the local community I'm from, called
Ecorse
in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And also, I went into county government. I was director of Department of Public Jobs and Economic Development, which helped a lot of the local communities mm-hmm. in terms of putting resources in those communities. And it was, you know, really gratified for me to be able to help, especially my community, Ecorse, and the neighboring community of River Rouge, which is right outside of Detroit.
So now, Spencer, you've got some Detroit roots. You grew up there.
Spencer grew up on the Delta.
He moved to the dump. You're right.
And then he went to Chicago first.
Yeah, and then he went to Chicago first, and I found out my brothers who would come home to Mississippi, I thought they were rich. And I got up to Chicago, and they were poorer than I was. So I went on down to Bowling Green with my brother Leroy. You know Leroy.
I know Leroy.
And so when I got down there, and I was playing ball against Nate Thurman, Howard Colmise, all of those guys from Bowling Green.
And what years were these, Spencer?
This was in 1965. Okay. And so then they put on a big...
In Bowling Green, Kentucky or Ohio?
Ohio.
Excuse me.
Got to clarify.
Excuse me.
Got to clarify.
And I got to clarify. Silver City, it ain't no silver and it ain't mm-hmm. no city.
That's the place.
But it's the population of 300 people.
Mm-hmm. That was the place in Mississippi.
Pick cotton from sun up to sundown. That's how I learned to work hard, my work ethic.
But now, for those of you who don't know Spencer's story, please, you have to read the book that he put out with Scott Osler, The Rise, The Fall, and the Recovery.
But the newer one is, the last one was with Mark Spears and Gary Washburn, which is the Spencer Haywood Rule.
And when did that come out?
Last year.
I missed it.
I got to get you one.
I'll buy it.
And Archie had the tremendous book that came out last year, too. Tell us about your
book. Yeah, let's hear about that, Archie. I had a young fellow who was a writer, but he was also a researcher, and we come together and we did a book. It's called Shake and Bake, The Life and Times of Archie Clark.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And it goes through my whole history, going from service all the way through the basketball and then all the years in the NBA.
How'd you meet these guys? Because we did.
I met Archie when I first joined the NBA in 1974. Mm-hmm. Now, he had been on the Lakers, mm-hmm. but I didn't get to Los Angeles until 1970. Mm-hmm. And so I first met Wilt when the Lakers, you must have been there that day in San Diego when the Lakers came to play the Rockets at the sports arena, and our high school team would play the openers for the Rockets in those days. And that's when I first met Wilt, and I was like 16 or 17,
well,
and he couldn't
have been Archie. I was traded for Wilt.
Oh, okay.
In 1968, we had a real good team, the Lakers. It was myself, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor. We were all stars. But we lost to Boston in the 1968 finals, and Russell dominated us going down through the stretch. And so Jack Kent Cook, who was the owner of the Lakers, mm-hmm. he wanted a championship team in LA badly.
Right.
So he decided after that season he had to get somebody to go up against Russ. And he traded me to Philadelphia. So I'm one of the trivial questions, who was traded for Will?
Archie Clark.
Yes.
And when you're traded for Will, you're pretty darn good.
Well, you made all-star team in Philadelphia as well.
Yes, I made the all-star.
You were a four-time all-star, correct, in the NBA?
No, I was only a two-time. I should have been a four-star, a five, even maybe possibly five.
Ten.
No, five. My seventh year, I got injured.
Okay.
And I had a terrible shoulder separation, so I played the last 3 years with a bad shoulder.
Where were you at by then? What team were you at?
Well, I was with the Bullets when I got hurt, and then they traded me to Seattle, and I had a chance to play with Spencer.
With this guy.
Yeah. And Seattle had never made the All-Star. I took them to the All-Star. I mean, not the playoffs. They had never made the playoffs, so I tell Russell that every time I see him, hey, yeah, I helped take you to the playoffs.
We had Walt Hazard on that team.
Yeah, who was Walt on that team?
Walt was gone. That's the reason why.
What year was this?
This is 1974-75.
So Bill Russell was the coach.
He was the coach.
Yeah.
And so I get on him every time he say, hey, man, I saved your job.
Let me tell you all, when I got to Detroit, what happened was I had no place to stay. And so Will Robinson was over on the side looking at me, and they had the outdoor crunk basketball league that was outside. Right. So I came in town, the young boy from the country, and I wanted to show the city boys I knew how to play. Uh-huh. So I played in the All-Star game against all of the George Traps and all of the guys out there, and I ran and dominated them, and all I wanted was a Faygo soda pop. Because, you know, Faygo is Detroit pop. So, and then they said, well, let's see how well it can do against the college boys. Now, I'm, you know, 15, I'm like filling my oats. So I played against Cassie Russell, Bill Buttons, and all of those guys. And then I did pretty good. And Dave Bing said, come on, man, try out and play with us, the pros. And I was like, the pros? I'm playing with the pros? I'm from Silver City. I don't even have a TV.
You're in the big leagues now.
It wasn't silver and it wasn't a city. I read the book. You were living between the cotton fields where you spent the daytime and the dump where you spent the evening. That's where you went shopping.
Spent shopping in the dump yard, yeah. And so I ended up going to Detroit and playing at Pershing High School. And then I went to the Olympics in 68. Came back from the Olympics, went to the ABA.
What about Trinidad Community College?
I was at the DAD, but I went from Trinidad to the Olympics, the first and only player
ever. Colorado, right?
What about the drive down the hill?
The drive down the hill when we was on... No, it was fine.
You were trying to figure out how the car worked.
How the car worked. Yes. Yeah, yeah, sure.
There we go.
Archie, tell us about the beginning of this organization here, the early days and the conversations that went down and who was the...
But Bill, let me tell you one thing about Archie.
Okay.
Because I got to tell you another story because I was getting to it.
Okay, sorry.
So here I am.
I'll try to control myself.
So here I am, the man, you know, in the ABA, the MVP, Rookie of the Year, leading scorer, leading rebounder. So Emmett, Brian, and Bala, who was Roberto Duran's trainer, we're going to take a trip to
Panama.
So I'm down there, I'm telling Archie, hey man, you know, I'm good, a good 19, 20 years old. Man, you know, I'm a rich guy, man. I got all of the money out of the ABA. And Archie said, I don't think so. Look at that contract. So I looked at the contract again, and it was like a fraudulent contract. So Archie said, you got to fight to play, man. You can't go back to the ABA. What are you going to do? So he was my encouragement, mentor,
me
to go
to come to the NBA.
Come to the NBA and fight for the right.
After you had that vision.
He was always helping. Like I tell you, now when we had the 75th birthday of Kareem,
right?
And Kareem whispering in my ear, man, make sure you tell Archie this, make sure you tell Archie this. I'm like, Kareem, it's your birthday. Me and you, Bill, why are you going to tell Archie all of this stuff? Because he admired Archie so much. Because
we all admire Archie.
Yeah, that's his thing. He's a gift.
Player, a human being, a leader, guy who just lives by moral and ethical code. Sacrifice, honor, and discipline.
Thank you, question for you, Bill, because we're trying to get the sit down.
My life is totally different.
No, your life is...
Because I didn't grow up with a silver spoon. I didn't live in Silver City, and I didn't grow up in Arkansas, man. I grew up in the tough, mean streets of San Diego.
Oh, so you made it real bad.
On the beach.
I'm glad you made it out, man.
And people have always been nicer to me than I deserve. Yeah. I started playing against NBA players when I was 14 years old, when the San Diego Rockets expanded to San Diego. And with the NBA.
Was Will Chamberlain the coach?
No. He coached the ABA team when I was in college, right when he left the NBA.
Okay.
That was in the 73-74 season.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you, Bill, because we're trying to get the sit down. You said you'd do this under one condition.
Right.
Is that we had Archie Clark here, or is that we had Spencer Haywood?
Well, this is the history. You know, this is why we are who we are. And these are the guys who stood up and said, this is nonsense, this is ridiculous. We're not gonna do this, and we're gonna do something about it. And a lot of people talk, a lot of people whine, complain, make excuses. These guys act, and these guys are my heroes. And here I was, little Billy. I mean, Archie's gonna be 81 next week. Spencer, you're 73? 73, man, I'm just a young child at 69. So I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I know these guys, I've lived with these guys, I've played with them, fought with them, cried with them, but I've also had my life impacted by them because of their willingness to stand up and say, look, what you're doing is absurdly nonsensical, and we're not going to stand for that anymore. And what we have today, a life that is better, can it be better yet? Certainly. And that's what the struggle is all about, and the give and take. And that's why I'm so proud, honored, and privileged to be Archie's friend and Spencer's friend. And that's why I wanted to do this show. Okay. Because they're the show. I'm just the prop.
Oh, man.
I'm just a pot of plants.
Yeah, man. I just want to also thank you, Archie, for putting together the Retired Players Association. I know it was difficult in the beginning because, you know, you had to bring certain people on and you had to make it work. And for the last 29 years, 30 years now, how have you seen what you guys put together has grown now to where we are?
Well, if you saw what...
Yeah, we had a room full of people.
Yes.
We have players stronger now, and then we have a lot of young players who have asked me, how do I get involved? And so, we have a bright future.
Most importantly, though, the players are empowered.
Yes. Yeah.
And what you have lived through in your lives, and all the obstacles and the barriers and the hurdles and the adversity, it's staggering to me that our country doesn't realize, appreciate, and insist on the presence of unions. You guys are from Detroit, an incredible, once in a great city. David Marinus, the remarkable book of this time in the early 1960s in Detroit, and just the history of our country. And the greatness of our country comes from the strength of working people. And that's what breaks my heart, because we have these companies today that are constantly trying to crush unions and to break unions. And I'm waiting for the leaders of these companies, like
Amazon,
Starbucks, Tesla, all these companies are doing fabulously well. I'm waiting for them to come out and say, we want a unionized workforce, because a unionized workforce is going to be better for everybody.
Speaking of unions, actually, the idea of forming a retired players association pretty much came from the ideas about union people. Mm. I went to a, I was involved in a political group. A friend of mine and I formed it in 1971. Okay. But anyway, I was still playing basketball at the time. But I went to a Democratic convention in the state, and the UAW retirees was so important during that period, and how they influenced not only that Democratic Party, but how the retirees were so respected by the everyday union guys at that time. So I had been a player rep for, you know, the PA and the NBA for about 8 of the 10 years that I played. And I thought, and I said, why can't the retired players be part of the Players Association? So I went to Larry Fleischer, who at that time was the, he was like the general counsel and the CEO of PA at that particular time. And I asked
him. He was the PA, other than the players.
Right.
But Larry volunteered. He didn't get paid for that.
I understand. But he was so influential, and so I asked him, why couldn't we be part of as retired players, why couldn't we be part of the players union?
Right.
Well, he told me, he said the bylaws wouldn't allow it. That's how he came upon me. And so I thought about, well, why not start a players association? Why not start a retired players association? And I told him about it, and he kind of thought that was a pretty good idea. And he said to me, he said, you know, maybe the proceeds from All-Star Saturday could go to help you guys, you know, start this Players Association. He said, David Stern and I are pretty good friends. He said, I'm going to talk to David about it. So he talked to David, and he got back to me. He said, David said, no, he's not going to let those funds be part of any kind of association. He was going to put together a Legends Foundation, and he's going to use those proceeds to fund the Legends Foundations, and those funds was going to go to retired players.
Right.
And so when Larry told me about that, I said, well, can we have a meeting with David? At that time, I had gotten with David Bing, and we had got with Oscar, and we was trying to see how we could form an association. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Larry set the meeting up, and we met with David Stern, and the three of us were sitting there, and David said, no, he's not going to do that. He told us what he was going to do with those funds. So, and he said, well, why don't you guys be on the board of the Legends Foundation? Well, Oscar and Dave Bing they were totally upset.
they didn't too much care for that. Yeah.
But anyway, we had a little meeting. I said, no, man, let's go ahead and get on the board. So we got on the board, and we served on that board for over 20-something years, and we set up the structure for helping retired guys and everything. But I still, along with Dave and Oscar at that time, we still said we was going to see how we could form a retired players association. And so Larry passed away, and the new executive director was a guy named Charlie Grantham. So I went to Charlie, and I said to Charlie, hey man, why don't you let us be part of Players Association? He said, I know you guys want to start a retired Players Association, because he had heard what we were trying to do. He said, tell you what, he said, I could help you guys get started. He said, I got a guy who's an attorney for Ropes and Grays. He's a fine young man. He could probably put together, you know, your structure and everything. Mm-hmm. He said, but you guys need some white boys, some white players. because it was just me, Oscar, and Dave at that time. And so Oscar went and talked to Dave Collins. Dave Bing went and talked to Dave DeBuscher. Coming from my background, I didn't have a white guy that I was
I was gonna say, who they tell you to talk to?
Close with. So I passed on it. And so
Bill. Was it Bill? And that's how you guys met.
I couldn't speak. I'm a lifelong stutterer. But all these great stories. There's a new book out called The Cap, How Larry Fleischer and David Stern Built the Modern NBA.
Yes.
And the history, not so much of the NBRPA, but the history of the NBPA is just delineated, just magnificently. Josh Mendelson is the author. I just read this book, and it's a fabulous read, an incredible history of the stories. And then from that, from Larry Fleischer, who was just incredible, and then him and David Stern coming together to make the economic profit revenue sharing of the league's income. It's just
that's where it really took off.
That's where it really took off. And then with Archie and Dave and Dave and Dave. I guess you got to be named Dave to be a part of it. And Oscar.
Oscar.
They said, you know, we've got to do this for ourselves. Yeah. And it worked. And it's just been magnificent. We want it to be better.
Well, we
because we have because the players have critical needs.
And we put up. Each of us, at the time, the five of us put $1,000, and we gave it to...
What year was this?
This was 1992.
92, okay.
So we had been going at this from the latter part of the 80s, and it took us all these years to get together, and finally in 1992, the five of us got together. We put up the money and gave it to Dennis Coleman. He became our first CEO. He went and formed us as a nonprofit 501c3 in New York, and we became an entity then on.
And then it just started, and then we had the All-Star Weekends and the Legends Brunch, which was just like
Let me show you how David Stern ended up helping us. It seemed like he was really kind of going against us. But then Dennis Coleman, we needed a new director. And so Dave Bing and I was charged with getting a new CEO. So we interviewed Mel Davis. Mel Davis was the head of the player development under David Stearns. We pulled him out of there, and he became our CEO. Mel Davis end up with David Stern giving us a licensing agreement that gave us the operating funds to form this organization and keep it furnishing. So David Stern's end up helping us, even though initially we felt he was trying to undercut us.
But he came around.
He came around. And not only that, Mel put together a luncheon, which is the brunch that happens on Sunday.
The best part of All-Star Weekend.
And he invited David Stern, and at that time Billy Hunter was head of the PA. And it became such a success, David Stern took it over.
That's how you know it was going well.
He took it over because he brought his supporters, from the league and everything.
And the sponsors and the advertisers and the hardcore fans.
And it became quite
television networks.
Right, became quite an event for our organization, but also for the NBA.
Well, let me do a little bit of background on Mel Davis. Mel Davis was at St. John, and he also played with us with the Knicks. He was a former player.
I know.
Yeah, so.
I know.
The killer.
I know.
Always flexing.
Right. But we pulled him out of that office, and that really helped us.
So, Archie, where do you see it going from here? You know, it's a 30-year anniversary this year.
Yeah, so what's next?
What's on the horizon?
Well, you got young minds. I think that there are those who are coming after us. I mean, you have players who have what they have, foundations and everything. We can pull together a lot of things from those guys. And at the same time, this organization is definitely going to be in a position to do more sponsorship type situations that brings in more revenue in the organization. And with those funds, we can, you know, we can commit to certain kind of charities. I would like for us to make sure that we move in the direction of helping, you know, from a cancer point of view, those who have prostate cancer. And it's from the women's point of view who have breast cancer. In fact, I think a lot of men are starting to have a situation with breast cancer. But I think we could probably get, you know, sponsorship from, say, maybe a car industry that really is targeting the electric cars, which in turn could help as it relates to climate change.
Right,
we can look in the environment, you know what I mean? But I also think that we should have a chapter in every NBA city.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And we only have at this time about 12, but I think there should be a chapter in every city that has a relationship with the NBA, because we're part of this NBA industry.
Definitely.
And
when you're speaking of like prostate cancer, I'm a survivor. And
me too.
And so I've been working with your good buddy, Lynn Merritt up at Nike.
Very nice.
We are working on this thing with also Michael Milken, who they raised billions of dollars. They want to do a partnership with us.
Okay. Mm.
And so I will be making the introduction to Johnny and everybody.
Oh,
so
that's wonderful.
And that would be our, we need a brand too, you know, for the retired players. So that would be one of our brands.
So Archie, we have the incredible success and the growth of the NBA to where it is today. Mm-hmm. The dream that we all had has become reality.
Yeah.
How do we, as the Retired Players Association, convince the current guys who never went through the struggle but are receiving the benefits to understand the importance of the solidarity of the movement, the solidarity of their commitment when so much of their life has been steered and pushed in the direction of being an individual as opposed to being part of a great team and organization?
Well, we have to be those representatives from this organization and get out and communicate with these current players and try to convince them that that this organization is a platform for them as well.
Right.
And there's nothing like being part of a team. And there's nothing like seeing other people succeed.
Right.
And there's nothing like being there when somebody stumbles and falls and able to pick them up and say, look, you're with us, let's go.
With us. That's why we got the helper.
Shake and bake. Arkansas.
Oh, yes.
U.S. Army.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yes. Fourth round, all Air Force.
I made the All Air Force basketball
team. All Air Force basketball team while in the Army. Yeah.
But did you ever have the misfortune of playing for Hal Fisher on the Army national team?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you speaking from experience? Did you?
That's a story for another day. Because this is a day about celebration.
Okay.
This is a day about honoring the founders and the legends and the pillars of who the NBRPA is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we recently had, I had a talk with Dave Bing and Dave Cowens and Johnny about we need to go to all 30 owners, and we just came up with a number. We just said $50,000 from their foundation.
The NBA Foundation.
No, each team.
The team
from
foundation.
Mark Cuban, those guys, they're always
like
around.
From the top.
And that's like $1.5 million for...
And what are we going to do with the money?
Well, you know, you're the founder.
Well, you have to target...
We can do things.
We got to get it first. We got to get the money first.
If we're dealing with prostate cancer...
If we go and deal with them, we should have...
We should have a program.
We should.
Well, I brought it up on my interview, so it was that kind of thing.
Well, we would put together something. In fact, Dave is working on that right now.
Okay,
actually.
Cool.
He's working on where we're going from here.
Archie, as you're closing in on 81, share with us some of the things that you wish you had done in those 81 years?
I wish I had not gotten injured in my seventh year of basketball. Yeah.
It changes everything.
Well, yeah, the level of play I was a featured player at that particular time, and my career was still going up, and all of a sudden it was boom. It was really devastating, you know, to have to try to.
Same with Spencer.
Yes. You know, that's the one regret that I have. Other than that, my life has been good, in a sense, in that I don't have any worries. You know, I'm.
What kind of advice do you have for the young guys coming up?
Advice. Be true to yourself. Yeah. Be true to yourself.
And to your Arkansas roots. How long were you in Arkansas, man?
Well, I was 2 years. My dad and mom, it was four of us, and I was the baby. I was 2 years old. That was in 1943 that they went up to Michigan, you know, subsequent to that.
And was it Detroit? Right
outside Detroit.
It's, you know, like, yeah, it's
one city. One street apart. So, yeah, it's
basically. I threw rocks at him. Use the D course.
Well,
I couldn't hit him.
I maintained the city E course, even though we're right there at the border of Detroit. But my dad and mom, they, you know, subsequent to that, you know, it was eight children, mm-hmm. you know, by my mom and dad. So you were the second of ultimately eight? No, I was the fourth.
The fourth child?
Yeah, I had two older sisters and one older brother, but all the rest that came after me, which was eight of them. We grew up in 1945 World War II projects. So we come from very humble beginnings, okay?
I got you by two. It's 10 of us.
It was 10. It was 12 of us.
Oh, okay.
So I got you.
To buy two. To close this, Spencer, what advice would you give to, like, the young guys now?
I would give the advice, and I do whenever I can. Mm-hmm. I think that they should consider making a donation to the Retired Players Association, because they are making these large sums of money. And standing on the shoulders of Archie, Bill, and myself, mm-hmm. I think it's appropriate that they make these donations to the foundation to help us grow and grow and grow. Right. And it would make them feel so much better
because it did help.
It made them feel so proud and so good when they helped us and got us this health insurance. Mm. It's been like a badge of honor for them. Mm-hmm. But I'm just
saying, game-changing,
life-changing. Yes. So. Yes. I'm just saying to you now, please do some more, you talk about the giver. Listen to this man and the giver, and Bill.
Learn from him.
Giver. Yeah. So just give a little bit.
Be engaged.
Because I'm saying, I go to their fundraisers and doing things mm-hmm. where they donating millions of dollars to other people, and I still sit there like, we got the NBA. Retired players.
Right here.
Oh, duh.
There's nothing like being part of a special team.
Special team. And your home
team. We've all chased that our entire lives because it's so fragile and so tenuous.
Yes.
When you're there and when you're on that special team, you think, oh, it's going to be like this forever.
It's going to be like this forever.
And then, bam, an injury, an injury, an injury.
Yeah.
And it changes immediately.
It changes everything.
And when the team is there, NBRPA, which is the ultimate team, as we go our different ways, mm-hmm. but it keeps bringing us back, and the relationship, and to see how well everybody's doing, but to understand, appreciate, acknowledge the challenges that so many people face, and that's our responsibility, because with the privilege that we have, and we are privileged, even though you did grow up in Arkansas,
Bill, let me ask you this.
Okay. There's a responsibility that comes with privilege.
Yeah.
And a responsibility to act appropriately and to not sit there and just let evil and nonsense and absurdity take over.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, I heard in the background at our meeting out here tonight about Archie becoming a Hall of Famer as a contributor.
That was going to be my last question.
And, you know,
I support that.
We have been around. I support it.
And I'm going to do what I can.
And I'm going to do what I can.
Right.
But he keeps telling me, nah, I don't want it here. But Charlie, you don't count.
Spencer, Archie is not a self-promoter.
I know, but hey.
You got to sit this one. I think they're going to handle it for you. You might have to sit this one out.
Is it time to go?
He's too humble. But
he's Archie
Bill,
Clark.
Give me one.
He's Archie Clark. He's shaking bake. There's Spencer. Yes.
Yes.
And you're?
I'm Tyler. I'm just Tyler.
Well,
Tyler.
You know, from a basketball contribution, I can say this, that I popularized the crossover. They can attribute to whoever they want, but I know I popularized. Not only that, the step back jumper, I was doing it before anybody was. Yeah. That's 1966. And I probably was the first to ever grow a full beard.
Influence.
So, but for those who didn't have the privilege of playing against Archie or watching him play, he could control the action.
The action.
For the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, at 6'2". Yeah. But he could control the offense, the defense, the transition, both ways transition. He could control the culture. And then, when he could no longer play, he said, what else can I do?
How else can I help?
And that's what he's sitting here in the middle chair today. And he got a standing ovation when he was introduced. Mm-hmm. Archie Clark.
Archie Clark. You guys embarrass me.
We love you, Archie. We thank you.
You got a lot of fans.
We love you. We are eternally grateful.
A lot of fans in here, and I know you don't want to say it, but we're going to do our part to see what we can do to get Archie Clark into the Hall of Fame where he rightfully deserves to be. So for myself,
because all of the other four founders are in. Mm-hmm. This is our last mission.
This is the next mission.
Yes.
This is what's next.
Isn't it time to go?
He's so humble.
For
but
Lance,
hey, you know.
If he was only named Dave.
I have a gift of empathy. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, tears come out. I can see a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if someone's telling a story about something that, you know, I can empathize with that. That's a family trait. My mom was like that and everything. So it happens to me even when you talk about it, you know. Yeah. So you excuse these tears.
That's not beautiful. It's tears of joy.
We get tears of joy, tears of appreciation
of
for
pride.
You and for all you've done.
Yeah. Gratitude.
For myself, for Bill Walton, for Spencer Haywood, for the pioneer Archie Clark. Thank you all for joining me in the lounge. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bill.
Archie, happy birthday, man. Just getting started in 81. Way to go, champ.
Thanks for stopping by the Legends Lounge, brought to you by the National Basketball Retired Players Association. Give us a follow on Twitter at NBA Legends Lounge, and be sure to subscribe and rate the Legends Lounge with me, Trill Withers, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.